This morning we're going to look together at a very intriguing description of the Christian. Have a look with me as Peter opens his letter, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Strangers in the world. There's a chance that these people Peter is writing to were literally homeless. There's a chance they were part of the group that had to flee the persecution when Stephen was stoned to death for following Jesus. It could be. But it seems to be more. Come down to verse 17, because he uses this description again, and it moves into a metaphor for the Christian life. Verse 17, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Then down to chapter 2, verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens, foreigners, and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Strangers in this world. Why strangers? Very simply, for the Christian, this world in which we live now, it is not our home. We are strangers. Come with me to the beginning, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, as Peter explains that for the Christian, we have a new home. A new inheritance. From verse 3 it says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. Hear what he said about our inheritance, if you're Christian, it has been given to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's been won for us and given to us. And our new home is eternal. Like it says in verse 3, if you've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, if you're now one of his people, then this is your home. This is your destination. Not here in Christchurch, New Zealand, but your home is eternal in heaven. See, for the Christian, as you start following Jesus, it's like God issues you with a new passport. And as you're handed the new passport and you open the inside cover and you see your picture, as your eyes skim down, you see that your home is no longer citizen New Zealand, but there's a stamp that says your new home is heaven. And as we start to grasp this truth, it actually gives us a whole new perspective on life here. This world in which we live is only temporary. Our time in this world is short, temporary as we wait. And therefore it gives us a new perspective as we cope with each day. That's what Peter explains in verses 6 to 9 as he talks about the reality of life, as we see pain and suffering as we go through trials. We can persevere. We can hang in there, for we know that this time, this life, is just short. It's only for a time. It's temporary. For a time is coming when our great hope of one day being with our Saviour, being gathered with his people together, will come our reality and we'll be home forever in the place with no more tears or suffering or trials or heartache. Well, if heaven is our home, how are we to live in this world now, this temporary place? Peter says we are to live as strangers, as foreigners. But what does he mean by that? What does it look like to live as Christians in this world today? Well, for the rest of the letter, that's what Peter explains to us. In our short time this morning, I'm going to show you from the first couple of chapters what it means. If heaven is our home, if that is real, then we are to live differently in this world. And as we live different lives, we will stick out. We're to live differently in two ways. One, by what we do not do. Secondly, by what we do do. It's different. Firstly, we are to be different by what we don't do. Come with me to verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14. He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Friends, as Christians, we are to be different by not conforming. He's talking here about falling back into those old sinful habits and patterns. Instead, we are to be different. We are to be holy like God. Why does this matter? For he has saved us. He has washed us clean and made us his children. Therefore, we are to live as obedient children. This means we are to say no sometimes. That's a hard thing to do. We are to not join in like we used to. This is a huge temptation for you and for me. As many of us, I know I do, struggle. And so often we're like those little sort of chameleons who change in order to fit into the group. And it's so easy to do. You know, very quickly those jokes sort of roll off our tongue and we're back into those old habits. Or our language slips. Those cutting remarks return when we're around those people. Those judgmental comments come flowing back. And you think, oh, I really shouldn't have said that. Or you think, oh, I'm just having a few quiet beers with the boys, and then before too long, you're no different than your unbelieving friends. For some of us, this is a huge challenge and rebuke, and we need to change. As obedient children, we do not conform. That will mean that we'll abstain and not join in. You know, as you're catching up with your friends and who's up for another round? Oh, it's my shout. And you'll say, no, I've had a couple of beers. That's me. I'm fine, that'll do. I don't want any more. That will mean not joining in with those cutting remarks, but actually holding your tongue. And as a result, you mightn't be as funny as you used to be, or as well liked in that group. See, as you do this, you'll cop flack and you'll stand out, yes. This theme continues in chapter 2. Come with me to verse 11. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." What does it look like to live as strangers in this world? It means holding back. Actually pulling the reins on our sinful desires. It means self-control. See, it's not saying that those sinful desires are not there and real. He's not saying magically when you become a Christian those sinful desires disappear. He's not saying that. But as Christians, we're not to follow them. Lust. Those temptations are real, but we are to say no. Not follow those temptations. Greed. We're to say, I have enough. Instead, I'm going to choose to be generous with what God has given me. Those sinful desires of power. Instead, I'm going to make a conscious decision to serve. Not to pursue power. We're going to be different. As strangers in this world, we'll be different by what we don't do. We're also going to be different by what we do do. We're going to be different in that we are fear God. Come with me to verse 17 through to 21. And he talks about this fear. Verse 17, "Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear." What he's talking about there is God consciousness, being God aware. Where our friends or unbelieving family don't give two hoots about God, we are different. Verses 18 through to 21 explain this fear. What is reverent fear? It's not about being scared of God and wondering, am I really saved and doubting our assurance? No. Verses 18 to 21, he says, "You have been redeemed, past tense, from the empty way of life with the precious blood of Christ." Verse 21, "Your faith and hope are in God." It's not about being unsure about our salvation. What he's talking about is being reverent, reverent fear. Knowing that God, our Father, the sovereign God who is in control of all things, the mighty judge, is watching. That's what he's talking about, reverent fear. So this week, school went back. It was great, you know, taking kids back to school and the first day of school, and it kind of jogs the memories of what it was like when you were back at school. I want you just for a moment to go back in time and remember when you're at school. And remember what it was like sitting in class when the teacher wandered out of the classroom. And was out of the classroom for an extended period of time. Life was different, wasn't it? When the teacher was around, there was one situation. When the teacher wasn't there, it was very different. Makes a difference, doesn't it? So it is for the Christian. We are to live differently, for we know that God is watching. And he is the one that we are to please. Yes, we feel the pressure. And we try and fit in and please those around us. We all do. But he is the one who is watching. And we are to ask what is right in God's eyes. We are to be different by what we do do. And firstly, that means reverent fear. And secondly, we are to be different by the way that we love. Come with me to chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for the brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." What he's talking about here is a special kind of love. It's a love for the brothers. It's a love for other Christians. And it starts by caring for and loving for other people at church. Why is this so important? Well, verses 23 to 25 explain that our brothers and sisters in Christ are forever. And his logic is simple. We're going to be spending eternity together. Therefore, we need to start loving each other now. To actually take this command seriously, we actually need to know each other if we're going to love and care for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We can't just come along to church and act independently and duck off straight away and love our brothers and sisters in Christ. It just doesn't work. That's why hospitality is the mark of Christianity. Being hospitable. Not just here on a Sunday, but welcoming each other into our homes and sharing our lives. We are to be different by the way that we love. Did you know that love begets love? That is, as you start loving and serving other people, you actually grow in your love and affection of other Christians. Jesus says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's a mark of Christianity. We are to be different that we fear. We are to be different by the way that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are to be different by the way that we live in this world, and that is that we live good lives. Come with me to chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." He's speaking here about living consistent lives. Notice the way that we live has an effect on the watching world. Yes, they will mock you. Yes, the world will accuse you of doing wrong, but they'll see. They'll see your good works. People will notice that you are different. What are these good works? It's relating well. That's what he goes on in chapter 2:13 onwards. He talks about relationships and relating well. It includes submitting to authorities that God has placed over us, being good citizens. Verse 17, pretty good summary. He says, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honour the King." But it's not just relationships in church and with authority. He goes on in chapter 2 and 3 to talk about the workplace, home life. How you handle those relationships, husbands and wives, children and parents, how you suffer makes an impact on the watching world. Conduct yourselves in a godly manner and you'll stand out. But people will see. You may face accusations and opposition, but then again, in God's providence, maybe your life, which attracts and causes someone to put their trust in Jesus, and the result, they glorify God on the day he visits. The Christian life is different. I want to just ask a question to those of us who aren't Christian. I want to ask you a question, and that is, it might be your son or daughter who are Christian. Have you noticed the way that they live their lives? The decisions they make, the priorities they have, how they actually relate? Have you noticed that? Is it different? Have you asked the question why? See, it may be that a Christian friend has invited you along to church. Does it intrigue you to see that they have real relationships and real support in their Christian family? Does that intrigue you? You may be coming along to church for a while and you're not a believer. What is it that attracts you? Why is it that you keep coming back? Have you noticed the difference? Do you know that there's more than just this world? And to be honest, it's a wonderful relief. The pain, the suffering, the heartache, the earthquakes. This world is just temporary. There is more. See, as God promised, he did send his son. Jesus lived in this world as a man. He lived a perfect life, a life without sin, and he gave his life on the cross in order to pay for our sin, in order to save us from this world. Having died and been raised from the grave, Jesus now offers forgiveness to all. And to all who put their trust in him, he washes clean, he deals with our sin, he forgives. And to all who put their trust in him, he gives an inheritance, a wonderful inheritance, the promise of a new home in heaven. And if you're not a believer, you need to know that Jesus is offering you this forgiveness, and I need to urge you to put your trust in him. And when you do, you'll not only find peace with God, forgiveness, but also you'll be given a certain hope that one day you'll be home with him in heaven forever. If you're curious, you want to know more about this hope, please come and have a quiet word after the service. For those of us who have accepted the offer of Jesus, have you actually grasped this truth that heaven is your home, not here? Not here. This isn't home. This morning, God, through his word, has taught us how to live in this world. We are to be different, strangers. Our lives are to be different, and that is, we are to stand out as we live in this world, as we walk between two great dangers. The first, on one side, the danger is to assimilate, to blend in with the world around us. If we wander down that track, we will lose our distinctiveness, we will lose our effectiveness as his servants, and as individuals we'll lose our identity. This has always been the great danger for God's people. As you think of the nation of Israel, there were 12 tribes under King David and Solomon. The great nation of Israel, and then after Solomon they split to northern and southern, Israel and Judah. There was the 12 tribes in the two. And then what happened to those 10 tribes, those 10 northern tribes? They were wiped out by Syria. And I remember learning the church, the history of Israel, and I thought, oh, they must have come through and were killed. But as we read our Bibles, that's not what happened. They were wiped out because they assimilated. They blended in with the Assyrians. And their focus changed. Their desires changed. And they didn't think it was important to teach their children about the living God. They blended in and they lost their distinctiveness. And slowly, that is how it happens. Slowly they lost their identity and were no longer God's people. It's a constant pressure on us. When the world's desires become ours, we're in trouble. We're not living the comfortable life. We're in trouble. When we're no different from our workmates, we need to repent and change. When our friends don't know that we're Christian, for they don't see the difference. When they think we're just, you know, one of the girls or one of the lads. If that is you, you need to change. For heaven is our home. Not here. And we are to be obedient children. We are the ones who know that God is watching. We know that the world and the stuff of the world is just temporary. We know that. Therefore, we need to be brave and say no. To abstain. To stop doing. We are to not do what we used to do before when we weren't Christian. On the one hand, there's a great danger to blend in. But on the other hand, there's another danger. It's not the danger of blending in, it's the danger of keeping away from the world. It's not assimilation, but segregation, hiding in this world. That is just spending time with Christians because it is nice and easy and safe. If that is your temptation, you too need to change and live in this world. When I first started with a Christian group at Macquarie University in Sydney, I had to lead a number of Bible studies. The very first Bible study group I met was with actuarial students. Those actuarial studies are like, you know, mathematics, and then you got super maths, and it was a bunch of these guys. And very different from myself, we joined this Bible study group. The very first week one, lovely Christian guys meeting together. The first week, I kicked a bloke out of the group, and I told him, "You are not to come back." Sounds a bit harsh. First week, new student, new university. Why did I kick him out? He was hiding. He'd already joined two other Bible study groups on the campus. He was getting looked after as a Christian, but he was hiding. So instead, go to the other two, but instead of this Bible study group, I want you to get to know some of the students on campus, some of the guys in your year. And I encouraged him to join the chess club, and he got to know a few guys there, to actually live in the world. It's very striking that we are to live differently in this world as strangers, not just for our own sake, but also for the sake of the watching world. And I say, if you're hiding, if you're only socialising with Christian friends, well, you need to change and allow unbelievers into your life. Be hospitable. Get to know others, people in your street. Invite people into your homes, into your lives. Not so that you might compromise, no. But so you can live and they may see the difference, what it means to follow Jesus. They may give you stick for the way that you relate. When I was working in the Westpac Bank, we're in small teams and they are quite social. And so we had lots of fun together. And did they give me heaps for not living with Kylie? Oh, you got a girlfriend? Yeah, but you're living together? No. What? And they heard we're getting married. And we're young. What on earth are you doing? And then the pressure came. You're kidding me. What do you mean you haven't been sleeping together? And they had an absolute field day. There was about 10 of them. And constantly they were a little, you know, digging the ribs. And yet a couple of weeks before I left work, one of the managers took me out for lunch, which was a bit strange. And he wanted to have a chat because he opened up and he spoke about the guilt. He'd been living with his girlfriend for a while and he actually knew he shouldn't be doing it. And it was wrong and he was thinking about getting married and why was I different? Why did we do what we did? And it was an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. They will hassle you. Yes, you'll cop a hiding. But they're watching. We are to live as strangers in this world. And that's a huge ask. Some of us will need to make big changes in the way that we live as Christians. So how are we going to go about it? Actually, what is going to prevent us from making big changes this week because we're being convicted and then slipping back into our bad habits the following week? I'm going to close by sharing three things that will help us to live as strangers in this world. Open up your Bibles, have a look, verse 13. You may have noticed I skipped over these verses at the beginning. Starts off, therefore. Up to this point, Peter has explained who we are as Christians, what Christ has done for us. He has saved us from this world. He's given us a new home in heaven. Therefore, three things. One, prepare your minds for action. We need to be prepared and ready to live God's way. How do we do that? We prepare our minds for actions by reminding ourselves often of who we are. That heaven is our home. We need to keep reminding ourselves. We prepare ourselves by reading God's word, remembering what Christ has done for us. That we are God's children through Jesus. We prepare our minds for action. I think this also means that we prepare and actually make a decision before we go out. You know, as you're going to catch up with those old bunch of school friends and you know the temptation of your tongue, make a conscious decision before you go out. You know, you're going to go and catch up with the lads down at the pub. And you think, two beers, that's it. Make a decision before you go. because as the pressure comes on, it's not going to get any easier. Prepare your minds for action. 1, 2, be self-controlled. Take self-control. This is the gift of the Spirit. There's lots of pressure just to go with the flow. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Thirdly, set your hope fully on the grace given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. What's going to keep us on the straight and narrow, living as strangers in this world, even though we're going to stick out? Set your hope fully on the grace given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Keep your eyes on the prize. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, you are a holy God. We thank you so much that through the blood of Jesus that you have washed us clean, that you have made us your children. Father, thank you that you have given us the sure hope of heaven, that this has been won for us and given to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Father, this morning we want to confess that too quickly we blend in with the world around us. Too quickly our priorities shift and fall back in line with the world's. Father, help us to live as strangers in this world. Help us to live with reverent fear. Help us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to live good lives. Help us in the way that we relate as husbands, as wives, as colleagues, as grandparents, as children. Help us to live a godly life in these relationships. Father, we pray that in your mercy, you may use our feeble example to bring people to Christ. Father, give us self-control that we may say no and not fall back into those old patterns, that we may say no from following the ungodly desires of this world. Help us to live as your people. Amen.